You know that the Pharisees always tried to belittle Jesus because he was a danger to them. He said different things. And Mark says, look, Lord, I'm going to write this down for everybody to understand what this is like for me and what I can do for you. I'm reading from Mark 7, 1 to 23. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean. That means unwashed. Now, the Pharisees warned Jesus, do not eat meat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the traditions of their elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law ask Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, oh look, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Oh, are you so dumb? He said, don't you see that nothing that enters a man from outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, sex, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks, Norm, for that dramatic reading. As we come to this morning's passage, we are somewhere now in the middle of Jesus' ministry. As Jesus continues to teach and heal people, and in this time in his ministry, he is growing in popularity. John the Baptist has recently been beheaded. Jesus has just fed the 5,000 and he's walked on water to meet his disciples in the boat. And having reached the other side, he's been healing everyone who comes to him. The Pharisees are watching Jesus carefully. So one day, Jesus' disciples are eating food, but they haven't washed their hands after being in the marketplace. And this causes a problem. You see, in order to help everyone follow the law, the Pharisees followed an oral tradition in addition to the scriptures. This oral tradition prescribed more rules in an attempt to clarify what exactly God wanted. This included teachings around things such as doing work on the Sabbath. What does it mean to do work on the Sabbath? But Jesus, as we have seen in the Sermon on the Mount, had issues with the Pharisees' interpretation of the law and the traditions they attached to it. Much of what Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount corrected the teachings of the religious leaders and Pharisees. So the disciples, probably because Jesus has taught them not to worry about the oral tradition of the elders, are eating food without having washed their hands. Now, one of the things about the Gospel of Mark is that it is written with Gentiles in mind, Gentiles who are unfamiliar with Israel and Jewish customs. So Mark explains a few things for us. Mark explains how the Pharisees believed that Jews should wash their hands after being in the marketplace. Now, the reason for this is because it is possible that in the marketplace, a Jew might touch something which is unclean or which has been defiled by Gentiles. So as a precautionary measure, it's better to be safe than sorry, after you leave the marketplace, one should wash their hands before eating. Another time Mark will do this is in the idea around Corban, which is later on in Mark 7 verse 11. Now, if you read Matthew's account of this story in Matthew 15, 1 to 20, you will find that he leaves out these explanations. And that's because Matthew was writing his gospel for Jews. So the Pharisees ask, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating food with unclean hands? Jesus' response in Mark and Matthew they're recorded in slightly different order. Mark has Jesus starting with the quote from Isaiah, whereas Matthew remembers the incident just a little bit differently, with Jesus ending his speech to the Pharisees with that passage from Isaiah. But in any case, despite the slight differences in order, Matthew also using his own wording rather than just copying what Mark has written, what is said by Matthew and Mark is almost identical in its meaning, its terms of phrases and its intention. However, as we turn our attention now back to the story, there seems to be a sore spot for Jesus around these traditions of the elders, and he finds that quite sharply. Jesus is not polite in his rebuke. Mark 7 verse 6, Isaiah was right about you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. God knew that in Jesus' day, the religious leaders would be like this. They are going to be people who outwardly honour God, but when you get down to it, what they really like to do is follow their rules, rather than get to know the character of God and to come to know him. How far the Pharisees are away, just think about how far away the Pharisees are away from someone like King David, whose heart sang out of his relationship with God, who wrote songs about him and about how God's great, about how great God's love and faithfulness and strength was. There is none of that being captivated by God's character here by the Pharisees. It's all about what does God want us to do and strictly adhering to it. We're trying to figure it out and then strictly adhering to it. So the first thing to understand about this teaching by Jesus is that first and foremost, Jesus is exposing this. He's expressing his deep upsetness with this. And he's addressing the problem with the traditions of the elders. This is Jesus' main point. So we should not miss it and move too quickly to the revelations Jesus makes about what makes someone clean or unclean. The fundamental objection Jesus has here is that the Pharisees have created a whole set of oral tradition rules which have been passed down, which they follow as if they are Scripture. And even ahead of Scripture, when it is contradicted by the commandments of God in the law. Jesus hates how these man-made rules are set above the God-made commands. The Pharisees are blind to the fact that their oral traditions often end up setting aside God's law. And before we get into the story too much, another thing I want to point out is that Jesus here, he's not deflecting. Deflecting is something people do when they're caught out. It's when you point out a problem with another person after they've just pointed out that you're doing something wrong. And it's intended to deflect from the fact that you've been caught doing something wrong. So deflecting is a tactic which comes naturally to us as human beings. Children do it all the time and adults as well. And we do it to avoid being confronted with the things that we do wrong. And the idea behind deflecting is to go on the attack and to make the person pointing out that you've done something wrong to then go on the defensive and have to defend themselves. So an example might be, you notice that someone has told a lie. So you say, why did you lie? And they respond by saying, well, you can't talk, you did, ... and insert the wrong thing that you've done wrong at some point. Jesus is not doing this. Jesus' disciples have not been caught out doing something against the law of God. They simply are not following those rules which have been made up by the religious leaders and passed down. So Jesus uses an example which clearly reveals this truth, showing that the oral traditions are not the commands of God, and nor are they to be treated like the commands of God, and that the breaking of these traditions, therefore, does not mean that you're breaking the law of God. They should hold no power in the spiritual lives of people. And that to follow these traditions sometimes even cause one to break the law. Now, to be fair, the Pharisees, they never claim the disciples are breaking the law of God. They merely ask in a condemning way why the disciples aren't following the oral traditions of the elders. And Jesus answers this question using the example of Corban. Jesus says, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honour your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you say that if a person says to his father or mother, whatever help you might have otherwise has received from me is Corban. Fortunately, Mark clarifies what Corban means. Matthew just leaves out the word Corban altogether. He just explains the concept. Basically, what this means is that a person could leave their elderly parents to be destitute and not take responsibility for looking after them by telling them that the money that I would have spent to look after you, I'm instead giving it to God. This man-made rule which allows people to disrespect their parents makes Jesus' blood boil. God wants children to look after their elderly parents, and this is a key aspect of what it means to honour your father and mother. And so Jesus finishes off talking to the Pharisees in Mark's Gospel saying, thus, you nullify the word of God by your traditions that you have handed down, and you do many things like this. Jesus is showing that the traditions of the elders are not from God. They are man-made and do not help people follow God's commands and even get in the road of people following God's law. Well, Jesus then implores those who have come out to see him to understand that no food is inherently sinful. And when you eat food, it doesn't make you unclean by eating it. Rather, it's words which people say which make someone unclean when they say things which are sinful. But unfortunately, not even the disciples are able to comprehend what Jesus is saying here. They're so enculturated by the idea of a certain food being unclean that they just can't understand this. It doesn't make any sense. To them, of course, eating food can taint you with sinfulness. Now, something which Matthew includes in the story which Mark doesn't is how the disciples tell Jesus that the Pharisees were offended by him, and no wonder. And Jesus responds basically saying, look, don't worry about them and pay no attention to them. Matthew 15:13 says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. So here Jesus addresses again the inability of the religious leaders to understand the heart of God's commandments and their intent, and is how and how this will lead God to eventually uproot them. So following this, the disciples are still perplexed by what they've just heard about this business of clean and unclean, and how there aren't foods that can make one unclean. Well, Jesus, on the other foot, can't believe they don't get it. So obvious to him. And says, don't you see that nothing that enters a person from outside can make them unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach. What comes out of a person is what makes them unclean. For from within, out of people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a person unclean. Jesus is showing that our sinfulness comes from our heart. And our words betray our sinful heart. They reveal that our hearts are sinful. Nothing outside us makes us sinful. And nothing which doesn't impact our heart's sinfulness is itself inherently sinful. Seems like maybe the disciples somewhat got what Jesus was talking about after his more in-depth explanation. Or at least there's no more questions about it. But because that this concept of unclean foods being able to make someone unclean was so culturally ingrained, it was obviously very difficult for them to comprehend what Jesus taught. And we should not be so hard on the disciples, for any ingrained cultural belief is difficult to unbelieve and to comprehend, even if Jesus teaches it about it directly. This shows us that we too can be trapped by our own way of viewing the world. Even when faced with a clear example of something, it can still be hard for us to accept it. So we need to be careful that we're not guilty of the same thing that these Pharisees were. One thing that is interesting is how Mark adds a note here saying that Jesus was actually proclaiming all food to be clean. Now, of course, the disciples did not in any way understand this at the time. This is Mark adding an editorial note where, in hindsight, he and the other disciples could see how Jesus was in fact endorsing all food to be clean, in line with the vision that God would give Peter about clean and unclean food in that tent. And so you'll see this throughout the scriptures, these editorial additions. that the writers give. Something to learn from this is how the gospel writers do at times add things in understandings which came to them after Jesus' death and resurrection, rather than or strictly sticking to what they understood at the time. So here Jesus teaches us that all our sinfulness comes from our own hearts. Out of who we are in our hearts, we speak, and thus reveal the evil and sinfulness which exists in our hearts. Jesus' brother James, of course, picks up on this when he speaks of taming the tongue in James 3:6. So in this teaching moment of Jesus, we learn that we have to be careful of any rules we make. We might make them with the best of intentions, but we have to remember that any rule or direction for life we come up with, which is not in Scripture, is not necessarily the gospel truth. And when we do create our own rules, there is always the possibility that following our rules may in some way inhibit us or others from following Jesus' ways and God's commands. We must also remember that it is what comes out of our mouth, not what goes into it, which causes us to be sinful, for when we speak, all too often we reveal the sinful aspects of our hearts, its evil thoughts and desires. The heart is the seat of all human sinfulness and is the cause of all our sin. So guard your hearts against increasingly becoming corrupted, and instead allow Jesus to create a clean heart in you. Amen.